he said, she said, also known as technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So how are you feeling right now?
Well, not too bad. I'm pretty excited about my competition coming up on the weekend, and it's the last leg, and I can't do any better than I'm already doing right now. So this is it, folks.
Now you're training for the Northwestern Canadian American Natural Bodybuilding and Fitness Championships. Where's that going to be?
In Victoria, BC, at the McPherson Theater on April 13th.
Victoria is a great place. There's lots of people that are into health and fitness. The weather is great over there, so that should be a good show.
Absolutely, and I know lots of people over there, so I'm going to have a great cheering section.
Now, I know that you've been carb depleting, and your muscles are looking real full now, so your organized plan is apparently working.
Absolutely. Well, it's your organized plan is apparently working.
Some of the veins are coming through. I guess the objective is to delete carbohydrates, which then reduces the glycogen in the muscle.
Yes.
And as a consequence of consuming carbohydrates after deleting or reducing carbohydrates, the glycogen levels go way up inside the muscle. There's what they call a supercompensation effect.
Yes.
So you have much more glycogen in the muscle than you normally would because that enzyme, glycogen synthase, becomes real proactive pulling it in. But it must feel good too, right?
Not when you're carb depleting, actually. You get very tired. It's a mind game. It's really, really a mind game because you're just very exhausted because you haven't got any carbohydrates coming in. And you take a look at an apple and you think, if I just had one bite of that apple, I would soar to the moon. But, you know, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. And it's very short term anyway. I wouldn't recommend anybody to do a diet like this unless you're competing in bodybuilding.
Now, I noticed the foods that you're eating, like the type of carbohydrates. I saw some manna bread,
yes.
Some yams.
Yes.
Now, the difference, I think, in our approach is that when we consume carbohydrates, we try and consume the whole carbohydrates rather than the white rice and the sugar, the refined food, the peanut butter sandwiches. We're trying to focus on real high-quality micronutrient-dense carbohydrates.
Right, whole food, absolutely. And I think it really does help with my skin tone and the overall the way that I look. Okay, well, we talked about this before. One of the reasons that I'm doing this is to raise the standard of my health. I don't want to go into this and become sick. I don't want to finish this and become heavier and not as strong as I was before I went in. So I feel stronger than I've ever been in my entire life. So that's one of the reasons that I want to do this. But and of course I want to win. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can always use another title.
Okay, but I'm sure you're going to be glad when it's over.
Oh, yes. I'm sure the whole family and all my friends are going to be glad when it's over. It's pretty hectic. We've had a lot on our plate at this point in time.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I don't really want to compete as a bodybuilder on an ongoing basis. After winning the Masters Canadian Championships in 98 and having to go through that grueling dietary preparation approach.
Don't forget that we had to go through that too, Corey, with you.
Yeah, just like I'm going through with you right now. But I find that in just about every other sport, like in track and field or lacrosse or hockey, one doesn't necessarily have to deprive oneself of carbohydrates. These are important energy foods. So my experience in bodybuilding is that on a competitive level, it's incredibly hard on the immune system, hard on the mind, hard on the body. And those that are involved competitively, routinely, year in and year out, have got to be suffering. Whereas I think that in other sports where there's less dietary deprivation, because all that matters when you play hockey is whether you can pass the puck and shoot it in the net. It doesn't matter whether you have a six pack or how big your biceps
right.
are.
That's what the bodybuilding is all about. What you look like with your clothes off and how that muscle comes through. My next goal, and I believe in being goal orientated, is I would like to do the Galaxy, which is like an obstacle course Marine SEAL training, which I'm going to do with Shelley Lynn Hughes of Vista Magazine. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I get to eat everything I want. So that'll be a fun thing for me.
Well, again, for that, you don't have to be ripped and shredded or have striations on top of your striations.
But there is a bikini competition in that too. Why, I don't know, but there is. So you have to look. I mean, if you are training really hard and heavy and it's an obstacle course and you go against your own time, you're going to look darn good, I can imagine anyway.
So the bodybuilding lifestyle per se is actually pretty good. It's just that the competitive aspect of bodybuilding is the part that's real hard on the system.
Yes, I'd say the last couple of weeks, which is really the tough part.
So you could maintain an excellent physique, have the kind of presentation that is attractive and functional and healthy, but if you didn't compete and go into that last final stage of the so-called rip-shredded state, you could be healthy all year round, couldn't you?
Oh, for sure, absolutely, and have a nice tight butt. I want to maintain this one, and I'm not going to lose it, so I got to keep doing my squats. Ladies, squats, leg presses, that's where it's at.
Well, regarding the nice, tight butt, I'll be the judge of that. Now, I'm just looking at the March 2002 Alive magazine, and I noticed that you have an article in there.
Yes, I do.
It's called Hop, Skip, and Jumpstart Your Kids. I know that the nutrition for children is dear to your heart because we have three kids, and right now, especially dear, is the welfare and function of our children long term. So what kind of thoughts do you have about nutrition for children, and what is the role of the parent?
Well, I think the parent has, it all starts with the parent. They have to be a strong role model. You can't expect your kids to exercise and eat six meals a day, fruits and vegetables and protein shakes. If you are not doing it yourself, good bleeding luck. It ain't going to happen. Children need to watch their parents getting out there and doing sports. Parents, please do not give up your life for your children. I see so many of my friends and colleagues and people from the gym they have to squeeze time to come in because they play chauffeur to their children. They have no time for themselves. That is not the thing to do. You must take time for yourself. You must eat right yourself, and then your children will follow your footsteps.
So we do know that children live what they learn and learn what they live.
I certainly hope so.
It's not a guarantee, but
no.
I'm sure that generally speaking, and I feel pretty confident about this, if I demonstrate success, that's a good role model, that's a good image, that's a good photograph to set aside for the mind of our children.
Exactly. And if we're eating correctly and we're feeling good with ourselves, we have lots of energy as men and women having children, we're going to be able to handle the stress that life will always throw at us. And the children will see how we deal with stress. Because if we freak out and swear and yell and scream, our children are going to do exactly the same thing because that's how they're going to respond, because they see that's how we respond to these actions.
Now, isn't it also true that a lot of conflict in the home is caused by low blood sugar and hypoglycemia syndromes?
Oh my goodness. I have seen so many of my daughter's friends come over to our house, and before they've come over, they've had some sort of, I don't know what they've had, macaroni and cheese and pop and chips and everything, and they're higher than a kite. And then all of a sudden they crash. I used to think that my daughter's friends were moody or had some sort of a mood disorder. But what it is, it's low blood sugar. And right before my eyes, I have seen this time and time again. The kids aren't eating properly. They don't drink water. They have to have pop or Kool-Aid. It can't be water. Oh, no, we don't drink water. We don't like the taste of water. Well, this is another one that we've got to change, parents. You've got to get your kids drinking filtered water.
Now, what about protein? How do kids get protein in their diet?
Well, most kids don't get protein unless it's from some sort of a greasy hamburger. I would say protein shake is really where it's at. And I've mastered my protein shakes with the kids. I make them like a frozen yogurt. They taste delicious and the kids love them. With their favorite fruits, you can ask them what kind of fruits they like. You can make them really thick. You can make them thinner, different textures. They don't have to be a great big 10-ounce glass. You can make just like a 3 or 4 ounce glass. Just introduce it slowly. And this is also too, you can get vitamin C in there. You can get a little bit of creatine in there, all sorts of vitamins, flaxseed oil.
Yeah, so you can add all of these things to the shake, prepare it in advance. Now, what about sending the kids to school with a thermos? Could you make a protein shake and put it in the thermos?
You can take a protein shake and put it in a thermos, and they can have it before track and field. My daughter's in track and field right now, and she was ravenous after her track and field class. So I suggested that she take it in a thermos with her, shake it up, and she felt fine. She had lots of energy, mental clarity. She wasn't fatigued, and it also helps with injury.
Now, do you think kids need to exercise more than they're exercising today?
Well, this is a big thing right now across Canada. I mean, it's written all over the newspapers that kids are just not getting enough exercise. The parents are hopping into the car to drive them 2 blocks to school, hopping in the car to run down to the store. Get out and start walking. Plan your strategy, parents, and get out yourself and start walking. Get out into the fresh air. Look at the beautiful flowers. Look at the beautiful mountains. Talk to your children. They get acquainted with them.
And as a consequence of that, what's going to happen? What, your relationship's going to improve with your kids?
Oh, relationships are going to improve. You're going to build up your heart and lungs, strong legs, have some fun, start to laugh, and even learn how to be a proper pedestrian. Learn how to walk across the street, use the lights. I know so many of my, because I'm a walker, and contrary to popular belief, no, I don't drive a car. I know that's odd, but I've never had a hard time picking up a ride. But most kids do not know how to cross the street properly. And I'm talking about kids in grade 5 and grade 6. My daughter's friends do not know how to walk across the street. So it's important that they learn how to walk and be a strong pedestrian.
So as parents, we need to set a good role model. We need to focus on good quality food and nutrition. We need to motivate our kids to get involved in sport and to exercise routinely. And most of all, we need to spend time with them and to set aside some time so that we can develop a relationship. I hear that's really good for marriage as well, spending time with your wife.
It does help. It does help, absolutely, in finding a common denominator. I mean, a family that is healthy and eating right and all on the same track really will have lots of benefits. Like I said, it's like depositing money into the bank account. And over the years, you will have a big, wonderful bank account.
Well, it's been great spending time with you today. And by the way, you owe me $28.
Thanks, Corey.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie.